This podcast is sponsored by JList.com. On JList.com, from now until the end of the holiday season, you can get $10 off your order of $50 or more if you use the promo code WELOVEAAA2015. Use it on all of your figures, plushies, and more for this year's holiday shopping. Again, on JList.com, don't forget to use the promo code WELOVEAAA2015. Happy holidays!
Okay, well, your wind is going to be blowing pretty hard when Astro Boy flies above you and just whips it out and pees all over you.
I would.
Oh, we had to continue the pee.
I would look very cute holding my umbrella.
Oh, God, I just had an image of Totoro at the bus stop with the leaf and there's pee raining down on him.
And there's Astro Boy flying above him.
Oh, God.
Ciao, 皆さん。アニメアディクツアノニマスのライブブロードキャストを聞いていただきます。
You are listening to the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Make your anime addiction worse at aaapodcast.com. And now, here are your anime addicts.
And we are live with the 302nd episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, coming at you live every Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 10 o'clock GMT, right here, right now, on Ustream.tv.
We're doing it!
And slash anime and a bunch of other words. Just look up Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. What's up, everybody? My name is Kazuo. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I am joined today by the lovely and talented author extraordinaire... Chiaki.
Hi everyone, up, I'm Chiaki, otherwise known as Elise Kova, or I don't know, something.
Yes, quite.
Yes, I write books. My home smells of many leather-bound books. Actually, it's more like a cluster of little things I wrote down on scraps of paper here and there.
Neil, the cat mascot, ate an entire wheel of cheese and pooped in the fridge.
What?
That's, you said your house smells of leather-bound books. That's, a line from the same movie. You pooped in the fridge and ate an entire wheel of cheese.
Okay, that's I got it now. I didn't know how cheese poop smelled like leather bound books.
I am
that confused me.
Well, speaking of cheese poop, we are also joined by Mitsugi.
Yes, I
who also smells like cheese poop.
Well, thank you very much.
All right,
I'll take that as a compliment. Somehow, I'll dig deep into my creativity and find a way to make cheese poop a compliment. Is that like what happens when you eat too much cheese?
Dude, I had that happen the other day. Let me
oh
tell
my
you.
Oh, God.
It's not pleasant. Anyways,
wow.
we've spiraled out of control within the first minute and a half of the show.
Kazuo leads the show and
directly off a cliff. Okay, so of course you can find us anytime at our website, which is aaapodcast.com. From there you will find links to iTunes, Facebook, Twitter. Twitter is Twitter at aaapodcast, facebook.com/aaapodcast. You can also subscribe to our YouTube, but we haven't really put anything on there in a while. But
well, they did ban us, sort of.
We'll get back to it, I promise.
When is that ban lifted?
When one of us probably asks them to.
That's true. When we actually try to. You can also check out our Patreon, which would be awesome of you. It's patreon.com/aapodcast. That's pretty much how we keep the mics on and the seat cushions uncomfortable.
And the lights on, yeah.
So go ahead and check that out if you have time. Let's see here. What else? Oh, we have a special code offer for you guys from JList.com, which has been one of our sponsors forever.
For over a year now.
Yeah.
So most people know what JList.com is, otherwise known as JBox.com. They just redid their website, so that alone is worth going and checking out their site, because I know that Peter Payne went through a lot of effort, painstaking effort, to get that website up.
Oh, you painstaking.
See what I did there? That website is up and running, and if you go to the website, JList or JBox.com, and you make a purchase of $50 or more, you can use the promo code WELOVEAAA2015, and you will get $10 off your order. So if you were to go in there and buy Christmas presents or something for yourself, you know, like a $50 anime figure, you use the promo code WELOVEAAA2015, and you'll get basically get 20% off of that.
So you're telling me that if I go to JList or JBox.com and enter the promo code WELOVEAAA2015, they're basically just going to give me $10.
That's exactly what we're
saying,
Kazuo.
When I go to buy things that I'm going to buy anyways.
Lickety split, no shit.
All right, that's awesome. Well, there you go. Some free money for you guys. Enjoy that. Let's see. Following our general housekeeping, we are going to have our main topic, which is the anime super fight game. That's right. We're going to play a game called Anime Super Fight, or it's called Super Fight. We have the anime deck.
I was contacted by a representative of the company that makes the game, which is what is this company?
Skybound.
It is Skybound.com. So Skybound contacted me and wished us to promote their Super Fight, the anime deck game, and so we are going to. It just happens to be a game that is very conducive to podcasting because we're going to argue for like 40 minutes,
specifically to anime podcasting.
Yes, yeah. It's perfect.
So it fits well.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing that.
All right, and also we're going to be doing a review on Aoharu X Kikanju, aka Aoharu X Machine Gun.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
Oh, one more thing, I just want to put out there.
Swing with the baseball bat.
Right up front.
That way,
we'll mention it later. But if you think Super Fight sounds like a super fun game, on our main page, aaapodcast.com, right up at the top, there is a raffle copter that you can win. The Super Fight actual like full game and the anime deck.
Did you say a raffle copter?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's a raffle copter.
That's amazing.
It's a literal thing. Google raffle copter. Like I'm not being stupid. I mean I am, you know.
If I was not both a host and the producer of this podcast, if I was just the producer, I could come up with that clip from Dr. Dre's Chronic album where he goes rat a tat tat and they have like the helicopter going with the machine gun. That would have been perfect for this moment.
Yeah, that would have been.
Cool.
Anyways.
Could have linked two things together, but alas.
So, all right. Ton of stuff to get into today. Oh, yeah. I feel, you know what? I'm feeling it in my bones.
Are you feeling the love?
I'm feeling that it's going to be a really great podcast, guys.
It is.
I'm excited.
We missed you last week.
You know what? I missed me too.
Wow.
All right. So, let's see. Before we get into the main topic, we've got our trivia winners. That's right. If you go over to our website, aapodcast.com, every week we have a trivia question posted on the site by Chiaki. And this week's answer to the trivia was Nana.
Yes.
And the correct answer, was the Count.
Yeah.
The only one who got it was the Count.
I didn't think this was that hard.
Well, there were a whole bunch of wrong answers. Let's just put it like that.
Wow.
We had everything from Beck to Kaon. And basically, people were just throwing out anime that had a guitar
Anything
with a guitar, I got that answer. But I don't know. People should have thought... People who know Chiaki well shouldn't have had to think too hard to realize that this was Nana, considering I think that's been a trivia answer like 14 times now.
That's been 14 times.
All right, 11 times.
So we're going to continue on with the same theme. The current theme is anime musical instruments, so hopefully you guys know your music. We also do an in-show weekly trivia.
We do.
Every episode. So you've got the trivia on the website, and then you have one that we will answer at the very end of the show. The question is... In the anime Stelvia of the Universe, before the anime even begins, what is the event that nearly wipes out mankind?
That's a pretty cool show. Stelvia, I know we've said this before, but Stelvia has an awesome opening song.
It does. And that anime, I wonder if that's one of those rose-colored nostalgia glasses anime. If I'd go back, because I watched that in college. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if I go back and watch that again after like 9 years, if I would think it was just total moe crap.
See, now I haven't seen it, so I wonder if I should add that to my list of things that I'm going back and watching now.
Well, it's a cool. It has a very cool premise behind it. Then maybe, and I can explain it after we get to the end of the episode when we reveal the answer, because I can't do that now. That would be a spoiler.
Ah, yes.
It's time for an almighty anime mailbag. Anime. Anime. Anime.
Mailbag.
Aw, yeah. All right. It is time for another almighty anime mailbag. That's right. If you go to our website, aapodcast.com, click on the mailbag button, and you can write us whatever you want, and we'll read it on the show at some point eventually down the road.
Do it! Make your dreams come true!
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Yeah.
Submit that mailbag.
Because apparently submitting a mailbag to our podcast is your dream.
You never know.
You never know, man.
You never know.
It's a crazy world out there. So our first mailbag comes from, ooh, this is an interesting name here. I believe it's Greek. Alex Krosolotis. Krosolotis.
I think we should make Chiaki read this because it's basically a question for her.
Right. Oh, okay. So Alex writes, hello again, guys, and still loving the podcast. This first part is for Chiaki, though anyone who has read the books or has suggestions is more than welcome to join in. If the Air Awakens series... Oh, whoa! These are mine! If the Air Awakens series was adapted as a movie, who would you have play Vala and Aldric? More importantly, if it was adapted into an anime, who would voice them in either Japanese and English dubs?
Clearly, the three of us would be the actors in the film.
Even though we look nothing like I imagine my characters to look like.
That would be awesome.
That would be...
Terrible?
Terrible. Actually, I feel like Mitsugi, you could play Eggman.
Whatever. Like Dr. Eggman from Sonic.
Like Dr. Eggman?
I could no, couldn't do it. I look nothing like Dr. Eggman.
You'd need like a massive mustache and a fat suit.
I'd have to gain like 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyways, so I actually this is a hard question. I actually don't I struggle with my casting, especially for the two main leads, Vala and Aldric, because there isn't someone that I've seen that I've looked at that I've been like, oh my god, that's so Vala. Actually, on my Instagram account, I posted a picture of a girl who I think she's just like a random Russian model who a
Go
guy
on.
Used in his a photographer used to take some photos, or just a random person who a Russian photographer photographed and put in their portfolio. And she looks a lot like Vala. And I have those pictures on my Instagram, which is elise.kova. And you can see that. And so I feel like Vala, though, I would almost want her to be like a nobody actress who doesn't come in with like other roles that people are associating her with.
So not Jennifer Lawrence is what you're saying.
Not Jennifer Lawrence. That and Jennifer Lawrence, I don't really imagine to look much like Vala. So there's that too. Aldric is also tough for me because
Tom Hiddleston.
The princes were inspired. Yeah. No, literally.
Really?
The princes were inspired by by Thor and Loki. And so every time I think of Aldric, I think of Tom Hiddleston, but he's too old for the role now. Not that he's too old for me at all. But yeah. Okay, second part of the question. Last, now this is for everyone. Are there any Western-made novels in recent histories that have become anime? As I'm sure it's rare. I've mainly heard of it happening the other way around. For example, how the light novel manga, All You Need Is Kill, led to the Tom Cruise movie, Edge of Tomorrow. Or Never Ending Tomorrow, I'm guessing maybe was the title in Alex's country. Keep up the good work, guys, and I'll still hope to be able to listen to you and share some stories when I move to Japan.
There have already been a lot of anime from literature that have been made into... There have already been a lot of classic literature pieces that have been made into anime.
Yes.
Definitely.
The Count of Monte Cristo is probably the best well-known of all those. Yeah, Gonkutsuo, Romeo X Juliet. A very rough adaptation of Romeo and Juliet. But that's been done a couple times. When Marnie Was There is a British novel.
Is it really?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
Huh. That Ghibli adapted. Also, Howl's Moving Castle is a European novel, I believe, and that was also I think Howl's Moving Castle is European. Mm-hmm. And that was adapted by Ghibli also. And I didn't look up the other Ghibli movies, but I would be less than shocked if at least one more of their films were made after a piece of classic literature, because it seems like they love that a lot. Also, Les Miserables, or however you say it.
Whatever.
It was made into an anime called Les Miserables Shoujo Cosette. And then, of course, H.P. Lovecraft has been sprinkled throughout all kinds of anime.
Yeah.
H.P., which stands for Hewlett-Packard.
Yes. And then, last but not least, there is a very Jose romance take on Little Red Riding Hood called Ero Meruhen Aka... Akazukin-chan. That's a tough name to say.
Oh,
Akazukin-chan.
Oh, there's also, what's the other one that was like Little Red Riding Hood?
Is it a hentai?
No. It was an anime from back in the, I think it was a movie. It was
should have been a hentai.
crap. I'll look it up. Continue.
Oh, just one more thing. If my books ever got made into an anime, I don't care who would be their voice actors, because my books would be made into an anime, and that would be like a dream come true. Just okay, I realized I forgot to say that.
Let's do the next mailbag here.
Yeah.
This one is also for Chiaki.
I love you guys.
I'll read this one, I guess. Let's see. This one comes from Yotaru Vegeta, who writes in often, writes, these questions are best left to our love expert, Chiaki. You're going to cue the music? Go ahead, Chiaki. I'll let you ask the question since...
Oh, no, he's...
Oh, hey, girl.
I forgot.
You're looking so fine. There's all kinds of lovers out there. Moe lovers, tsundere lovers, bishi lovers. But you know what all these lovers love the most?
What's that, Cram?
It's anime.
Yeah, it is.
It's time for Chiaki's bag of love. Because addicts need love too. Yeah.
All right. Yotaru Vegeta writes, should I ever comment on a female alien hybrid mecha's weight? Actually, in certain female alien hybrid mecha societies, commenting on their weight is considered to be a very high compliment because it shows that they're, you know, of a large scale and are very capable at performing their tasks, and shows that, you know, they're not some cheap little mecha. They're sturdily built. They got some real steel to them. So, I think that's totally okay. You know, feel out the waters, but I think that's something you should compliment her on. Question number two, if a third gender human grows breasts out of her love for me, am I obligated to be in a relationship with her? The answer is no, definitely not. It doesn't matter what other people do for you. You have no obligation to them, to your feelings. It doesn't matter if they dye their hair, grow a boob, get rid of a tentacle. It doesn't matter.
I think that question's referencing the girl, one girl from Knights of Sidonia.
I know, but my answer remains the same.
Way to stick
matter.
To your guns, Chiaki.
It doesn't matter.
Or should I say your boobs?
You should love who you love because you love them and for who they are and maybe who they will transform into. And not because of the fact that you feel obligated to love them.
But it would be a great story.
It would be a great story.
All
okay,
right.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Fear Junkie writes, Excelsior True Believers.
Excelsior!
With the influx of superhero media in the West, I wanted to know if the characters of Marvel and DC Comics are popular in Japan. Do American comics often get brought over to Japan, and is there a Western comic fandom in Japan?
Oh, real quick, I do want to say, Anonymous in the chat said the anime I was thinking of earlier for Little Red Riding Hood was Jinro, Wolf Brigade.
Yay.
They reference that a lot.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, they do.
What big eyes you have.
Actually, they've referenced that to it to until you are nauseous.
Yeah, they really kind of
oh my God,
they do
kind
of hit you over the head with that symbolism.
We get it.
That's
okay,
awesome.
So yeah, I mean, I did a tiny bit of research on this, but I more or less know the answer just from being there for a few years. So the comic book movies were pretty big hits in Japan, as you know, they pretty much were in every country. The Avengers made $45 million, the first one. Which is a crazy amount of money for Japan because people just don't go to movies there.
Yeah. What's the population of Japan?
It is overall? 129 million and shrinking rapidly.
Okay.
Rapidly shrinking. The Avengers Age of Ultron made 23 million, which honestly is still a lot. And then Guardians of the Galaxy and Dark Knight combined for about 23 million also. So these movies have really made Western comics more popular in Japan recently. People know who Batman is. They know the name Avengers.
Batomano.
But for the most part, if I had to speculate, I'd say they don't really care. You'll almost never see Batman or Avengers or any other Marvel comic types of merchandise. You just don't see it. Little kids, what they carry around is Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, lots of One Piece. And the girls love, you know, Nidakuma and Hello Kitty, and they love, you know, Precure, and they love their anime stuff. Like, anime just dominates Japan in the circles where it's popular. And I feel like, and maybe Chiaki will agree, that Western comics in Japan are what anime is to us. There's a niche that exists on the outside of mainstream media that is consumed for entertainment. But on the whole, it's not that popular.
I would think, and obviously I have no frame of reference because I've never been to Japan, but I would think that from what I've seen, that anime would be more popular than Western comics. I mean, if you go to Japan, they have, or in Tokyo, they have entire storefronts and areas of downtown that have just anime all over the place. But comic books in the States, I mean, I guess more so now, you would see a lot of like comic book stores and things like that. But even just a few years ago, like late 90s, early 2000s, you know, you would be in downtown New York and there's like maybe a comic book store somewhere.
If you want to compare the anime market in Japan to the like DC and Marvel comic market here.
Well, now it's the comic market has blown up in the past 10 years. But prior to that, it was like, you know, practically non-existent. It was super, super.
But if you take the movies away, I wonder how big that market is. Take away the movies and movie-related merchandise.
Right.
And I wonder, like, how many people are buying action figures and comic books, like paper comic books. I don't know. But the bottom line is that Western comics are not very popular in Japan. They exist. You can buy them. Mm-hmm. But they're not like, you know, it's not like you see them on TV on like Burger King commercials and stuff.
You know what I was thinking about earlier today was that, so in Japan, we, you know, anime and manga is, I mean, Japan is like synonymous with anime, basically. Like, you know, when people think Japan, they think anime.
Like tentacle porn.
Right. And likewise in the States, comic books have become a huge thing. You never hear, though, of other countries' animated media. Like, no one I know of, I don't even know if it, like, say for instance, if you were like, oh man, I'm a huge fan of, you know, animation out of Uruguay, you'd be like, what? Does that even exist?
Well, I think you're right. Yeah. And I think the only other country that I've really heard has a significant market for animation in general is China.
Yeah.
The market is growing in China and it's propelling the anime market in Japan. But you're right. Like, it's not like Brazil has a big anime market. Like,
right. It isn't Brazilian animation.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not making Brazilia, Brazanime or whatever.
Brazanime
isn't blowing up.
Yeah.
Oh man, have you ever seen that South African animation?
That would be dope, though. It'd be super crazy cool. Like, it would be cool if like different countries had their own types of animation. I'm sure they do, on a small scale, but certainly it's, you know, way way larger in the States and in Japan. Okay, so let's move on to our next question then. Unless, Chucky, did you have anything to add to that? Really?
Nope. No? Okay. You guys got it.
So next question comes from...
Damn right we got it.
Joelu.
Joelu. I think that's just Joel in the Japanese, like, inflection.
Joelu.
Joelu.
Joelu. Joelu. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and read this one because Chucky kind of read two back to back.
Yeah, okay, go for it.
Not fair.
So this one is, says here, what anime have you seen that made you go cry in the corner uncontrollably in the dark? What other anime may you recommend that have characters that are batshit crazy? By crazy, I mean they can reach into the depths of your existence by their presence alone.
I don't really understand what that means.
Huh.
Do you understand what that means? Reach into the depth of your existence?
By their presence
alone. Maybe like something that a character that unnerves you so much you feel like shaken
I would,
just by seeing them.
That probably does not exist, but I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I don't know of any anime character that has made me feel... I mean, as far as animes that have affected you emotionally, though, I mean, there's certainly quite a few.
There's a shit ton of sad anime.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, if that's what you want, sad anime, yeah, try Grave of the Fireflies. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like watching little kids starve to death, that's good one.
Definitely.
Your Lie in April was sad.
Yeah.
Old Yeller, oh, God.
Not, you know what, though, but, like, even watching
Nothing?
Shows...
You both missed that?
Wait, Old Yeller?
Yeah, exactly. You were both going to let
Is
that go.
Is there an anime version of that?
I threw that out there as a joke, and you guys didn't even catch that. Like, hell no, there's no anime Old Yeller.
That would be hilarious.
In case you guys don't know, Old Yeller is a movie about a dog that gets rabies, and they have to shoot it in the head with a shotgun.
Oh my God.
That's what it's about. That's exactly the story.
That's so dark.
Yeah. But it's like a loving...
What a terrible story.
It's a loving member of their family. It's like a dog that they find and it gets rabies, mm-hmm. and they shoot it in the head and kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, moving on.
Well, I'm just saying.
But yeah, like a lot of those shows like Grave of the Fireflies and stuff, certainly they're very, very emotional, but they don't really make me cry in the corner or anything like that. Like nothing, they don't really affect me that much. You know what affects me emotionally?
What?
In anime?
Watching Ronda Rousey get slammed in the side of the head with a foot.
Yeah, that was intense. No, but like the little moments in anime, like when I see a character that that I can like relate to in a way, you know, like those So I was telling you earlier before the show, I recently watched Elfin Lied.
Yeah, you told me about that.
And
I praise your bravery.
Right. And but one of the things that really got me emotionally was seeing how these children grew up and their desire to be loved and, you know, kind of being being abandoned. Like that whole abandonment thing really touches me.
And then seeing Lucy paint the walls and ceiling of their classroom with their blood and organs.
That didn't touch me so much, but yeah, like so little things like that, you know, emotional scenes with characters that I can relate to. So, but you know, I certainly can't relate to a nuclear bomb dropping on my city.
Yeah. Well,
although that's certainly very emotional. So I think it's more of a personal thing for me at least.
Okay. Well, for me, the two other sad ones are Clannad After Story is very sad. And Searching for the Full Moon Osagashite, I've mentioned that a few times. It's very sad. That anime will always be on the sad list. So there's a lot of crazy characters in anime.
Sure.
I looked up some lists, some like top 10 craziest anime character lists, because there's a list for everything in anime.
Yeah.
Everything in anime has to have a list. For some reason, everything has to be put into a list. We can't be
the
more
internet
creative.
Loves lists.
It's like, oh, the top 10 craziest anime characters, and then they're all. No one ever puts a character older than like 6 years on that list because nobody who follows anime, it seems like, ever goes back and watches anything prior to like Dead Man Wonderland. That's I went through like 7 lists. That was the oldest character.
Really?
Like, because they just don't watch old stuff. Like, yeah. No one even knows who, like,
Devil Man.
even the girl from School Days. Like, that's not even that old. But, like, that won't even pop up on lists.
Oh, Ken Alexander in the chat mentions Higurashi.
Yes. Shion Sonozaki from Higurashi is a crazy bitch.
Yeah. Super intense.
Very crazy.
So there's definitely a few like that.
Delandau from Escaflowne is pretty crazy. I haven't seen this, but Yuno Gasai from Future Diary is pretty crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've heard she's...
And hot.
Really crazy.
She's hot, too.
Crazy hot.
Probably crazy in bed. Lad Russo is crazy enough to dance around in a person's like blood corpse.
Yeah. He doesn't really unnerve me, though.
No, none of these characters unnerve me.
Yeah.
I can't even remotely relate to Delandau. Jesus.
For sure. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, things that would unnerve me as far as characters are concerned, it would be a character that I felt like... See, like, I have the same problem with horror movies. Like, if I'm watching a horror movie... And there's a murderer or whatever, and it's just a guy who's going around murdering people with a knife. It doesn't really. I'm not that concerned about that because I'm like, well, I would probably just beat the crap out of the guy and take his knife from him.
Well, you certainly wouldn't run upstairs.
Yeah,
or into a barn full of chainsaws.
Right, but what really like would get me is something that you can't fight against. You know, so like supernatural types of things. So,
I don't know. Like what?
I'm trying to think like of examples AIDS? In anime. Like AIDS. Supernatural things like AIDS.
Well, you said things you can't fight against.
Yeah.
I have to say, I feel like things that shake me are more...
Like spiders?
Well, yeah. But I was going to say
things
more
you can't control like
games,
spiders.
Games than anime. Like, J-horror games I find terrifying. I've never really found an anime terrifying.
Well, that's because you're a little wuss.
Oh.
Just kidding. Fatal Frame is pretty scary because all they give you is a camera.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
Hans Lieber from Monster, P. Wright in the chat mentions that. He was pretty
unnerving.
Yeah,
he's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next mailbag, I'll read. This is my second one, right? Yep. The Creepster writes, do any of you know of any anime where two worlds collide?
Digimon.
Yeah?
Digimon.
Well, let me finish the answer. I don't think Digimon will qualify after I finish reading this.
Womp.
What I am looking for more specifically is where a world similar to the Lord of the Rings meets with this world and the two worlds start fighting each other. You know, there would be aerial fights between jet fighters and other military planes versus dragons, fairies, angels. On the ground, there would be today's troops, American military, Japanese military, etc., versus ogres, giants, unicorns, titans, etc. All right, so...
Well, Digimon does apply to that.
Oh,
because for sure the Digimon cross over into the real world and start tearing crap up.
Does that actually happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you've seen the new Digimon Adventure Try...
I am not cool enough to see
it
that.
It happens. Now, the military doesn't really start fighting them, but the kids certainly have to, you know, start fighting with their Digimon against the others. But yeah, they bust up into the real world and start tearing stuff
apart. Screw the military. You have to call the little kids in.
Yeah. Get those small children over here.
So, Gate was a recent anime where the Japanese Defense Force... goes into a portal and starts fighting like people on horseback. So yeah, I mean, for the first, at least for the first few episodes in there, it's actually, for a lot of that anime, it's like tanks and machine guns versus bows and arrows and swords. So that's exactly what you're describing. Which, amazingly, and Gate just came out.
Yeah. Which tanks and machine guns versus bows and arrows and swords.
Well, yeah.
Doesn't seem like it would work all that well.
No, I mean, like, when we review that, Coswell, you'll see it. And, like, they've got, like, a line of tanks and machine gun people. Like,
just mowing them down.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Last Samurai when they get to the machine, when they get to the chain gun unit.
Yeah. Now there's
they just
that,
keep, like,
now there's a scene that got me emotionally.
Yeah, the Last Samurai. Or really any anime that you could find that has Meiji era samurai, you know, fighting against the guns and cannons that get brought into Japan during the Meiji era, that would be a good example. But Gate is probably your best bet. I couldn't think of anything else.
If you like reading, I'm just going to take 2 seconds. His Majesty's Dragon. It's basically dragons meet the Napoleonic Wars.
Dragon.
Or Reign of Fire. Have you ever seen that movie with Christian Bale? And
No.
Oh, Reign of Fire is amazing.
I've seen that.
It's dragons like in modern day and they just wreck shop.
And they're fighting them with axes and shit.
Yeah, yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's dope. Yeah. And they have tanks and everything too. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, all right.
Well, our next question.
Yeah.
Next question. Oh, another one from Joeru.
Yeah,
so,
Joeru.
Jackie, you want to go ahead and read that one for us?
Sure. Joeru writes, "My little sister
can't possibly be this cute."
Apparently nope. not. Got into anime.
Wait a second. Start that over again.
I'll never forget that anime title for some reason.
Joeru writes, "My little sister got into
Affairs Are Unusual," which is a hentai movie now that we are going to do on a hentai episode.
My little sister got into anime a few months ago. So far, she has enjoyed watching anime with magical girls, sports anime, and other children anime like Pokemon, Digimon, Sailor Moon, etc. Recently, she has been asking me if I know of any anime that has dolls in it. It could be any types of dolls, animated dolls, antique dolls, etc., but I could not think of anything. So basically, do you guys know of any anime about dolls for young children? I was going to say,
Hell no, that's not for little kids. God.
I'm guessing that doesn't count. Le Portrait de Petite Cosette.
Hell no. That is straight up R.
I was making a joke.
Are you trying to scar this guy's little sister forever?
I can't with you.
His little sister can't possibly be that scarred.
Yeah, my little sister can't be this effed up in the head.
I can't with you.
Okay, so I did look up a one anime that is about dolls for little kids. And trust me, it was a tall order. Let me just tell you that, because there are not very many anime about dolls for little kids, surprisingly. But there is one.
What's that?
It's called Super Doll Lika-chan.
Oh, God.
It's rated G. I made sure it was for little kids. It came out in 1998, and it is 52 episodes, so it'll keep her busy for a while. Lika is in grave danger once she finds out that she is the princess of the doll kingdom. Now, the evil Dr. Scarecrow is after her throne, so Lika's grandmother gives her a set of dolls. When needed, the dolls will transform into larger versions known as the Doll Knights. Together, they protect Lika.
Huh.
Much more appropriate for a little kid than Le Portrait de Petite Cosette, which is about a girl who, a vengeful spirit who gets axe-murdered by a photographer.
See, you know, when I was a little kid, like, I didn't really like children's shows for some reason. I always felt like they were patronizing. So, I mean, I guess if the kid's into that, then that's cool. But I was trying to think of what other, like, maybe slightly more mature shows we could recommend to them.
Well, like, there is, like, I don't know, Rosin Maiden. I don't know how adult that is. I haven't seen that, but
Chiaki's giving us the hand signal.
Yeah, I don't know. You can Google it on your own. If you want just a random anime that has dolls in it, you can certainly Google that.
Yeah, that's
but finding
specific.
Finding one for little tiny kids is a little more difficult, and that was my challenge.
Yeah, very strange. All right, well, anyways, moving along to our next segment, Jackie on the Couch.
Jackie on the Couch. Hi, everyone. It's time for Chiaki on the Couch, and today, Mitsuki told me that I cannot talk about random things and that I need to talk about anime-related things because people will enjoy it a lot more. Because apparently, if
I talk about, I don't know, random things. You guys don't enjoy it as much. So I'm going to talk about the fetishization of high school girls in Japan.
Yes.
Because that's related to anime. So basically, the reason why that I wanted to talk about this today is I was reading a news article recently about a new startup in Japan. And what this startup is doing is they are having wake-up calls that people can schedule. So like a hotel. So, you know, in a hotel, you call down to the front desk and you're like, hey, can you wake me up at a certain time? Well, this is just in general in life. And instead of a random desk hotel desk assistant, it's going to be a high school girl on the other end of the line. And this startup is promising that they will be high school girls because the girls have to submit their student IDs as proof of who they are when they fill out their profiles. So like, the startup is basically promising that high school age girls are going to call whoever signs up for this. And
you know, I take back saying that's amazing. That's creepy.
It's really creepy.
I think it's amazing how like just weird and oddly specific that is. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. They would have such a unique thing, but it's also very creepy.
Well, and that's the thing that I wanted to talk about, because we talk about panty shots and upskirts and the whole obsession with school uniforms a lot, but this is a real subculture in Japan. And this is something that is incredibly, incredibly specific and is also a huge issue, I think. Because, for example, 13% of Japanese girls engage in enjo kosai, and that's compensated dating with older men. It's basically men who pay girls to go on dates with them.
Escort services.
You can, yeah, it's like high school version of escort services. There's also something called
What is that called?
It's called enjo kosai.
All right, I got to remember that for when I go back to Japan.
There's also something similar called JK osampo, which is honorable walks with high school girls. And so JK comes from Josi Kosei, which stands for high school girls. And it's mostly high school girls, but it can also be boys. And they hang out at like maid cafes and stuff, and they dress up sexily, and they hang out and they wait as the men walk by. And when men are interested, they'll say, hey, would you like to go for a walk? And they usually will go, the men will buy them dinner at some point, and they'll go on a walk around like Akiba or whatever for $40 to $80 with the guy. And what? I was reading this long interview of this girl who did these JK Osampos, and she said that she could make a ton of money in one evening doing this.
And that burn a ton of calories, walking.
And she had guys who would ask her for her panties, and she would sell them for $100. And so,
sell your panties for that's it. I'm becoming a school
girl.
You're
getting a sex change.
I'm getting a sex change.
Another instance of this in the news recently was a business run by three Japanese men in Ikebukuro called Kurione. And this business was operating where men could go into the business and they could stand in a place that was by a magic mirror that allowed them to watch high school aged girls fold paper cranes in their underwear.
What?
And so
what?
This was recently shut down by the police. And according
I was going to say, is this a little bit? I mean,
and according to police reports, the men could also go into a back room and pay the girls for sexual acts. So
I was going to say, it's just folding cranes in your underwear doesn't sound illegal, but paying them for sex, that sounds illegal.
It could be slightly.
So the whole thing about this,
don't we all
is
pay for it though?
There's definitely this huge trend, and it has been for a long time. And the reason why I'm talking about it for Chiaki on the Couch is because you see this in anime. And so it's one of those things where it goes all the way back to the idea that a panty shot isn't just quote unquote a panty shot or harmless fun. It can also signify some deeper trends and issues within society, and specifically Japanese society, because there's a reason why you walk into sex shops in Akihabara and you see dozens of school uniforms to pick from for your partner to wear. And so I definitely think that it's important for anime fans to be educated as to what's really going on in Japanese society when it comes to stuff like this. So that was Chiaki on the Couch, and I have a fluffy kitty.
So educational. All right, guys, we are going to go ahead and take a quick anime news break. And when we return, we'll be going over our main topic for the podcast, playing a card game, Super Fight, the anime deck. So stay tuned, stick around. We'll be right back. And I love you all.
Alex, this is Chiaki, and this is your Anime News Break. First up, if you're a diehard Ava fan, you might want Ava everywhere, and chances are you might already have it. Well, now you can have Ava even on your nuts. A collaboration between underwear maker B-Tones and the apparel store Radio Ava has made Evangelion boxers. They carry images of Ava units 01 and 02 and are a little more abstract, so maybe you don't have to be nearly as worried if you, you know, show them off for a special someone. The undies can be purchased at the Evangelion store for 3,024 yen or just under 25 US dollars. In other news, here's something you will not be purchasing, no matter how much of a diehard Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan you are. In celebration of the upcoming 2016 film, Yu-Gi-Oh! The Dark Side of Dimensions, Jump Fiesta 2016 will be displaying a pure gold replica of Yugi Muto's Millennium Puzzle. It's recreating the mystical Egyptian object that Yugi used to channel the mysterious Yama Yugi. And it's made from 25 million yen, that's over 200,000 US dollars, worth of pure gold and weighs a whopping 3 pounds. It's going to be featured at the Jump Fiesta event on December 19th. In other news, if you're looking for a newer acclaimed anime to watch, the Asia Pacific Screen Awards, APSA, has recently announced at its 9th annual award ceremony at the Brisbane City Hall in Australia that Miss Hokusai is the anime film that won Best Animated Features. Other contenders included Hiromasa Yonebayashi and Studio Ghibli's When Marnie Was There, as well as the Korean film The Road Called Life, the Russian film The Snow Queen 2, The Snow King, and the Australian film Blinky Bill the Movie. So you at least know that it was up against a little bit of stiff competition to take home this award. If you need any other convincing that this is a film you should watch, previous winners of the Best Animated Feature Award include The Tale of Princess Kaguya, A Letter to Momo, and 5 Centimeters Per Second. And finally, if you're a fan of Attack on Titan, it seems like there's always new stuff coming out from the franchise for you to enjoy. And most recently, Koei Tecmo has recently begun streaming a second promotional video on YouTube for the upcoming Attack on Titan game based on the manga. The video reveals that the game will be shipping for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita in February 2016 in Japan. So if this is the game that you've been waiting for, congratulations, it now has a sort of release date. The PS4 and PS3 regular package editions will be retailing for 7,800 yen, which is on par with most games at 63 US dollars. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere because we'll be back to the show soon.
Kazuo, what's that?
Oh, this? I have no clue.
Huh? How do you not know?
I haven't opened it yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. My blonde must be showing, but how do you order something online and not know what's coming in the box?
Magic. No, really, it's a grab bag from JList.com.
A grab bag? Oh, I get it. Like in Japan, around New Year's, they have hukubukuro at all of the department stores. You don't know what's in it, but what you always get is worth more than what you pay.
Exactly. I've seen stuff like this at conventions, too.
And JList.com has them?
Of course. They have a deluxe version for 120 bucks and a regular for 60. Or, since I heard from Mitsugi that you were playing some, hentai games.
Ugh, Mitsugi.
It's cool. I'm just saying they also have a $60 adult grab bag.
Okay, well, I think I may go to JList.com and pre-order my lucky bag now.
Oh, really? And which one might that be, young lady?
That is none of your business.
When it comes to Pokemon, don't mess with Kazuo.
I was in sixth grade, and I had Pokemon on my Game Boy. I had a Game Boy Pocket, I think, at the time. I was in gym class, and we're in the locker room, and I'm getting changed. This kid runs by, grabs my Game Boy, and bolts. And so I never got it back. Kid stole my Game Boy with my Pokemon in it. So in sixth grade, one of my electives, I was a teacher's assistant. This kid had that teacher. So I basically went allegedly went into the computer and wrecked all of his grades.
Yes.
And found his locker combination, because the teacher keeps a record of all that. Allegedly broke into his locker, stole all of his Pokemon cards, which he had a ton of, and took all of his textbooks and threw them away. I think he assumed it was me. We did end up getting into a fight later on.
And you beat his ass?
Yeah. I got into a lot of fights in school.
You beat that kid's ass, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
To fighting. Back to the show.
Aw, yeah. We's back. To the,
we're here.
We's Bebe's kid, straight jacket.
We's back to the 302nd episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Wow. Over 300 episodes.
We're ancient now. We're like way past ancient.
Well, you guys are ancient. I started about a year or so ago, so I'm still young. I can still hang with the kids.
It's like most anime.
Well, you guys are ancient. Love it.
I think other than Kanzenshu, and there may be one other anime podcast that's past 300 episodes.
What is Kanzenshu?
It's a Dragon Balls only podcast. They just do Dragon Ball stuff.
Is it in English?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, so
free promo for you.
Let's see, before we get into our main topic, we've got a 5-star review that was submitted by Gain Greens.
Gain Greens?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll go ahead and read this one. It says here, I'm not a long-time listener, nor am I a short-term listener, but somewhere in the middle of nowhere listener.
What?
I enjoy your podcast that covers a wide variety of current events in Japan and the anime industry. People should subject themselves to the Moe Archangel Chiaki, the unfaithful acolytes of the Church of Mitsugi, and everybody's undecided favorite Kazuo.
What does that mean?
The unfaithful acolytes of the Church of Mitsugi?
What? My acolytes aren't faithful?
That's I didn't say it. That's Gain Greens.
You better watch your back.
And then, of course, I'm undecided. Whatever. You know what? I do need something. I feel like we call me the Cat King. So should we have like a... a feline monarchy.
An army of people yielding cat hair lint rollers.
What?
Well, where there are cats, there is cat hair.
That is true. That's a good point. I was thinking of like an army of scantily clad cat girls. You know, I don't know. Anyways, moving along. I hope you guys keep doing what you're doing because it's probably my favorite anime podcast, if not my favorite podcast. Period. Well,
boom.
You know what, Gang Greens, I have to compliment you on your fantastic taste in podcasts.
Okay, so this game, Anime Super Fight, I was contacted quite some time ago about
Oops.
It. Well, I mean, it's better late than never. It isn't like the game only was coming out for a couple weeks. But Ben, who is an employee of Skybound, contacted me. Skybound is the company that put out this game. It is a comic book company that publishes The Walking Dead and Anime Super Fight and some other things. If you want to check out their website, you can check it out at skybound.com, which is where you can buy this Anime Super Fight game, which is it's $15 in case you guys want to know. And it's intended to be an expansion pack to the regular anime or to the regular Super Fight game, which is just things in general, not just anime. So, yeah. So what we're going to do is I'm going to explain the rules of this game, and I wouldn't have gone through with playing playing this for a whole segment if the game itself didn't make for what I think is going to be a pretty good podcast segment.
Now, since it's the Anime Super Fight, should it be the Anime Super Fighter?
So da na.
Tatakouze. What?
So the way this works is people get a card that has a character or an animal or whatever, some kind of character.
A noun.
And they get a weapon. They get weapon cards. And then you choose the combination from the cards that you want, and you put them down on the table. And then two people have a debate about which person's character and weapon would win in a fight.
Oh.
And then the third person is the judge.
Okay.
So it's
like
pretty
this.
Simple.
Or and the other people playing. You can play with more than three people.
Or
yeah,
the
like,
listeners.
And this game, this anime expansion also has place cards, which I guess I'll pick up.
Oh, locations.
Yeah, like locations, okay. Which I don't think the regular Super Fight has. And it also has like random effects. Like here's one. Surrounded by Tentacle Monsters. Mm. That's like one of these cards.
It's hate a, it when that happens.
It's near the bottom. It's
so everyday life for me. I don't know.
So without further ado, I'm going to let Chiaki and Kazuo go first. So the way this works is I'm going to deal you three cards.
Oh.
Three effect cards.
There you are.
And I'm going to deal you three-person cards. And then,
thank you.
And then you guys are going to choose. You're going to choose one of each.
Thank you.
Here you go.
So we can look at them.
You can look at them.
Okay.
Please, but only you.
Please be quick about it.
Oh, my God. This is the best.
Wait a minute. Did I get three of those?
Oh, shit.
Did I give you?
Do you give me?
Oops, my bad.
Sorry.
Already screwing this up.
But I kept know passing. What you have now. Do you want to?
Oh, give me,
do you
okay, give me three different ones.
Three different ones.
All right, so please pick these quickly. I don't want this to be like tons of dead air.
All right, so we pick one and one, right?
Pick one and one.
All right.
This is so funny, you guys, because all of the cards in my hand, so I have three people and I have three. What are the black ones called again?
They're just like effect cards or weapon cards.
I have three like weapon cards, and this is hilarious because they all fit. All
right, you guys have 5 seconds to choose. Let's go.
Okay.
Because this is radio, and you know I would just pick them for you if we're gonna have tons of dead air.
All right, I got it. Mitsuki, you need to chill your nipples.
All of the nipples.
All of them.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I picked the worst ones, but they're funny to me. Wait, right. What's this?
Now you all get one more weapon card, and you don't get to choose the weapon card.
Okay.
All right. So Kazuo, flip over your cards and tell me what they are.
So my cards are the person is a weeaboo.
A weeaboo.
The effect has a painfully high pitched voice. And the extra one I got was. Has a cell phone that predicts the future.
All right, so you have a weeaboo with a high-pitched voice and a cell phone that predicts the future, which sounds like Steins Gate.
All right. Yes. I have Spike Spiegel.
Nice.
And my weapon is irresistibly attractive.
That is accurate.
Because it is accurate. And the weapon that I didn't pick, whose fluffy animal mentor is, and it says draw a random character card, so I need another random character card. So
the character card is Mikasa. From Attack on Titan.
So apparently, oh my god, we have Spike Spiegel, who is irresistibly attractive, who has a fluffy animal mentor, Mikasa, from Attack on Titan.
All right, and you are going to battle in a shrine.
Okay.
And in this fight, physics pretty much don't apply.
Okay, here we
That's
go.
Amazing.
I got this.
So
I got this.
So begin the debate.
So Spike, who is irresistibly attractive.
And can I just say, let's try to limit the screaming.
Okay. Spike is so irresistibly attractive that he literally bends time and space around himself.
Okay.
And the fluffy animal mentor is Mikasa is constantly training him on the smolder because she's got that smolder down pat, like the aloof kind of badass look.
Right.
And I mean, your weeaboo is not going to be able to handle their idol, Spike Spiegel, in all of his irresistible attractive glory, like standing right out there and being irresistible.
See, this isn't even a battle, okay, first off, because there are three things that Spike Spiegel cannot stand. Animals, right? Women, mm-hmm. and children. Clearly, my weeaboo is a child, probably female, considering that she has a painfully high-pitched voice. So that's two of the three right there. Spike Spiegel is going to be completely beside himself and unable to deal with the situation. He'll probably just leave, to
but
be honest. It won't even be a fight.
That's what the fluffy animal mentor Mikasa is for, because Mikasa
like
is a child, an animal, and a woman. So Mikasa is sitting there training him how to handle those three things. And so he's got that down pat. He's focused on her. And the weeaboo is just like, I can't. Because not only does the weeaboo have Spike, but it has a furry version of Mikasa standing there with him.
That's a good point. However, my weeaboo also has a cell phone that predicts the future. So before the battle even began, she would have sent back countless green mushy bananas in her microwave time machine using her cell phone and just filled the arena. Spike wouldn't be able to maneuver effectively.
He doesn't have to maneuver. He just has to stand and smolder.
That's a good point. I don't know, guys. This is a tough one.
All right, so I'm going to call it.
Who do you think would win in this situation?
I'm going to have to give it to Kazuo.
Yes!
Yeah.
What?
He He does have a point. He can just kind of predict whatever you're going to do and then come back and kill you.
Absolutely.
But the cell phone is a powerful tool. He would be sitting there with the cell phone looking at pictures of Spike being irresistibly attractive.
However, if you remember how timelines work, then she would have already had predicted the future and set up an alternate timeline.
I call the chat to come defend me.
Well, that is not how this game works, unfortunately.
Do you want to get...
Oh, are we giving back all of our cards?
Yes, you are.
Oh.
All right, so who's next?
All right, so I'm gonna say Cosmo's next.
Okay.
And I've already sorted out the cards, so please select your weapon of choice.
Will you pass me the blue and purple card so I can run this for you guys? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The rock? Oh, God, decisions. All right, I'm going to go with that. And I'm going to go... I don't know what this is.
Okay. I have selected mine.
Okay, I'm just going to... Okay, sure.
And I get one more that I don't get to pick. Oh. And you get one more that I don't get to pick. All right, so, Kazuo, what have you got?
All right, so, for my person, I chose a homunculus. Because, as we all know, homunculus are incredibly difficult to kill and very powerful. Yes. I don't know what this is, but
uh-oh.
I had three terrible options, so I went with armed with a dominator. What is a dominator?
Don't know.
I think that's from Psycho Pass. I think that's the guns from Psycho Pass.
Is that called the dominator?
Aren't they?
Chat, tell us what a dominator is. And the third one is has five super strong invisible arms, which fits perfectly because I just watched Elfin Lied.
All right, so I have the Colossal Titan. This is clearly a very Attack on Titan-centric game.
Nice.
So I have the Colossal Titan armed with a Chainsaw Death Scythe.
Nice.
Which,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, chat confirms it is Psycho Pass guns.
Okay.
And I've entered into a magical contract to become Ichigo from Bleach.
All right.
Wait, what?
You guys are doing battle in the demon world.
Okay.
And unsurprisingly... all punches and kicks cause giant explosions.
That makes sense. Okay. That seems legit.
So that's like Dragon Ball Z, basically? Got it.
Yeah. So now, you are a Titan. However, you've made a contract to become Ichigo.
Right. So I'm a Titan and I'm Ichigo.
You're an Ichigo? Jesus.
You're an Ichigo Titan.
Oh,
With a Chainsaw Death Save, I think you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, God. I've got the Dominator, which I don't even know... if that can do anything to
according to Godius Maximus in the chat, the Dominator can only shoot criminally inclined people.
So, okay. So would you say that the Titan is criminally inclined, considering it's a mass murderer?
I would argue that they don't even have crime in Attack on Titan. There's like no justice system at all.
That may be true. However, I would assume mass murder would be considered a crime.
Okay.
So
You're not doing a very good job of arguing your case.
No, because I don't have a very good case.
All right, so I would...
I've got five invisible arms, which I guess is cool.
My Attack on Titan character, my Colossal Titan, both wielding a Chainsaw Death Scythe and a giant Bonkai...
Jesus.
...would straight up stomp you and then hack you into little pieces until your hard-to-kill homunculus is indiscernible from any other thing.
Yeah, you know what, to be honest with you, I don't even know if there's much I can do in this situation. I've got this puny gun and invisible arms, which are cool and would work against a normal human-sized creature, but if you're talking a Colossal Titan-sized Ichigo, I don't...
Maybe I'll just give you an R. Kelly-style golden shower.
It's going to hold me down and pee on me.
My Colossal Titan is going to hold you down with the top. He's going to step on your legs so you can't move and straight up waterboard suffocate you with his urine.
Oh my
white
god! On top of you.
Jesus, waterboarded with urine—that's terrible.
Shit.
That's how R. Kelly would do it.
Oh, too far.
Man, this got dark.
Too far.
All right, so we're gonna call it now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chucky.
You know, I hate to reward urine waterboarding, but I gotta go with Mitsugi winning this one because it's Ichigo anything in a demon world. It kind of wins.
All right.
All right, so, sorry, Kazuo, you got a shitty draw there.
Yeah, that was tough.
A homunculus. Jeez. That's kind of vague, first of all.
No, it could be anything. From Fullmetal Alchemist.
There's a homunculus in, like, every anime.
Yeah, but
ever
I was assuming Fullmetal Alchemist.
All right,
but
so...
still.
Okay, so, let's pick our next ones here.
Oh, I'm now the game master. Ooh, this is awesome. This is exciting.
Wow, these fighting cards are really terrible.
All right, I got it.
All right. Oh, here's your extra.
And you get one more non-optional card.
I also need an extra character card. one of my weapons, or go. At least the one I played, requires it.
All right.
Okay, so now you guys are going to be fighting at an anime convention.
Wow.
And
can I?
What?
Never mind.
Oh. The fighters have impeccable senses of honor.
Oh. Okay. So we're like the characters from Fate Stay Night, where we just talk to each other and refuse to kill each other for 12 yeah. episodes.
Or right. or you just go up and down the escalator at the convention and yell butt scratcher.
Right, okay, yeah.
Butt scratcher.
Alright, Chucky, what do you have? Bring it on.
I have a demon butler okay. who is cross playing as Team Rocket, apparently both of them. And is really poorly dubbed.
What? Okay.
Okay, so a that's demon like butler the weakest... cross-playing as...
So you're a black butler character who has lost his mind.
I think that is a convention right there. We have a demon butler... Well, I'm sorry. I won't get into it until you unveil your characters.
All right, okay. So I am a Shinigami who is too kawaii for words and is also super otaku.
Holy balls. These are terrible.
No, see, mine is basically a convention in a nutshell. You have a black butler who is cross-playing, which, I mean...
As, I guess, Jesse from Team Rocket.
As Jesse from Team Rocket. So you have three quintessentially convention-like things right there. You have black butler,
who gives a shit about a convention?
And Pokemon. We're fighting at an
anime convention.
Yeah, but how does that make you stronger just because you're at a con?
Because I can amass the legions of fans around me.
Well,
I mean, and is really poorly dubbed. I mean, that right there.
I gotta say, Chucky, I don't really think you have much of an edge over me on your battle cards or whatever, because I am super otaku, which is also anime con, and
yeah,
I am also super kawaii, so that is also anime
but,
con.
But the super otaku would be the one who's chasing
okay.
after
right.
the demon.
Okay,
butler,
so here's how it would go down.
Cross-paying as Team Rocket.
So here's how it would go down. Okay, it's a straight up Thanksgiving feast for the Shinigami. Your hordes of like. Really hapless, probably sometimes smelly, cosplay, can't even move around in their giant cosplay costume. People are going to go up to the Shinigami, and he's going to straight up Thanksgiving dinner style pull out your souls and eat them and feast upon your soul, and it's going to be delicious, and your tears. And then he'll save you for last, because he's already a death god, so first of all, you're not killing him.
Yeah.
And
but I'm a demon.
Going to get stronger with every soul that he eats. Who gives a shit? You're a demon. Okay, great.
I mean, I don't know. Demons are,
yeah.
Demons
are like level up from death gods.
I don't think anything beats a death god.
Both probably would hang out with each other, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they probably would hang out with each other.
So, yeah, I would just straight up eat your soul, and you wouldn't kill me because I'm a god.
I don't have a soul.
She's a demon.
Well,
you can't. You wouldn't even be interested in me. I would sneak attack you.
I would argue that unless you have quantified something specific, a demon could either have or not have a soul, depending on the universe you're in.
Mm. Well, considering the fact that this is an anime card game and therefore based off of conventional anime, and the most notable demon butler is Sebastian, and Sebastian makes a deal for a soul. Obviously, he does not have souls if he is trying to get them.
I would argue that is not necessarily true.
I think you're both missing out on the most vital issue here, and that is that your character is a super otaku, and yours is cosplaying as a character from Team Rocket. So I feel like your character would probably be in love with her character.
See, that's what I'm saying.
It would just make the soul even more delicious. I get to hear how you're going to kill my character.
You both have terrible weapons. Like,
so I said, I'm going to pull your soul out, and you were like, I don't have one.
We both have an impeccable... Oh, okay.
I don't know. We could keep arguing.
Yeah. You know what, guys? I think...
Do you have a question or anything, Cosmo?
You know what? Not so much a question. I have a statement. I feel like the Shinigami, the demon butler, the otaku-obsessed, you know, anime-obsessed person, and the person cosplaying as a Team Rocket character would probably just be best friends. Can I call a draw on this?
I guess you can.
A draw is supposed to cause us to play over again, but I think that it's easier just to say, okay, a draw.
Okay, draw.
Okay, draw.
All right, so pass me your cards back, and I have...
Oh, more cards to pass us?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Wait, who are these going to? Me?
Yeah, you.
Sorry,
yeah,
so
I've
those
got
are
two
your
and
card-
two.
Yeah, I've reduced it because we were running out.
So now you're choosing from two. Okay, all right. Yes.
Oh, my God, I don't know what to pick.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. No, this is not okay. I have two really good cards, and I have to pick one.
This is so okay.
How do I pick one?
There's the refuse.
Okay. Oh, God. This is so hard. All right. There's my leftover.
Here you go.
Whoops. Thank you. I'm so
sorry. All right. Please reveal your characters.
All right. I have Goku.
You don't even know.
As with the powers of a magical girl.
You don't even know.
And he has all the Dragon Balls.
Oh, my God.
I've got Vegeta. He is a maid. And he's also piloting a Gundam.
Oh, my God. My other weapon was piloting an Eva.
Oh, you all messed
right, up. Okay, all right. So let's recap this. So you've got Sakazo. You have Vegeta dressed up as a maid.
Piloting a Gundam.
Piloting a Gundam.
And I have Goku, who is a magical girl and has all the Dragon Balls.
Okay, go.
Oh, wait. Don't we have a location and all that other stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so the winner is chosen by fan service.
Wait, the winner is chosen by fan service?
And you are in an overcrowded subway car, so you're in a very small Gundam.
Wait, how is the winner chosen by fan service? What does that even
mean?
What
it said. I don't know. Fight.
I gotta say, it's Goku versus Vegeta. This has never ended up well for Vegeta. And I have all the Dragon Balls. So even if you somehow, did pull out some kind of crazy magic-y shit. Oh, by the way, and I have magical girl powers.
I'm just... All right. However, the winner is chosen by fan service, and Vegeta is dressed up like a maid. And
yeah, but I'm dressed up as a magical girl.
But I'm just saying, maids are like fan service-y all over the place. Also,
what's the difference between a magical girl and a maid?
We're in a crowded subway car,
which your Gundam wouldn't fit in.
But who's to say the subway car doesn't transform into my Gundam? Maybe we're in my Gundam.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. The chat is saying Vegeta wins. And by the chat, I mean one person in the chat. Oh, no. Actually, two people. Meowth said...
I mean, come on. Haven't you seen Magical Girl transformation sequences? We've talked about the level of fan service. Goku is going to spin around.
He's going to get naked.
And all clothes are going to fly off. And as Goku is spinning around, the Dragon Balls will be hanging in the air. Read into that as you will. And then, he's going to turn in all the lace and the short skirt and the little frills. And yeah. And, Astrophysics in the chat has a good point. Can you see Vegeta's maid outfit if he is piloting a Gundam?
Well, you could have an upskirt shot.
That's true.
Like Agent Ika. down the camera's down by your feet looking straight up her panties. All right, so Kazuo, you're clearly behind in this argument right now.
Yeah,
so,
I don't.
So I'm going to give you one more opportunity, and then we're going to call it.
Oh, okay.
Final statement from you. If you have one.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I can win this. I mean, he's got all the Dragon Balls. Vegeta has never beat Goku ever.
And it's very true.
Yeah, I'm just upset that I'm going to be killed dressed up as a maid.
Actually, doesn't Vegeta beat Goku when he's Majin Vegeta, except Goku kind of lets him win because he was already Super Saiyan 3?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think he karate chops Goku in the head or something.
Yeah.
And Goku kind of let him win, though, because he was already Super Saiyan 3 but never used it.
Yeah. But as they said, the battle is decided based on fan service, so...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Chiaki.
Yeah, me too. That's
you kind of got another bad draw.
I did.
Sorry about that.
Man. Oh, did I get a bad... I thought this was an awesome
draw. It was a good draw, but not against Chiaki's cards.
You're right. The heart of the cards.
So by the way, has all the Dragon Balls was the card, was the mystery card. That was given to me by
That's amazing.
Random luck.
All right, so I have now dealt out new cards. Please pick your cards.
Will you pass me a blue and a purple card, please?
I sure will.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, yes. So I picked my cards, and we're going to take two random black cards now. And I have Akira.
Nice.
And keep in mind, Akira is not Tetsuo. That's Akira who blew up Tokyo.
Right.
Armed with a Pokeball with...
This one's about to get real,
with,
too.
Madoka Magica inside of it. With Madoka inside of it. And I also have... And my soul is bound in a suit of armor. What the hell does that mean? Okay.
So you've got Akira...
I've got Akira, who's armed with a Pokeball with Madoka inside of it, and
Your
I have
soul
a soul bound?
Bound
in a suit of
oh,
armor.
Okay, like Alphonse from Fullmetal Alchemist.
Whatever.
I guess. So I got pick a Pokemon.
Oh, well, there you go.
Can you guess which one I'm going with?
Squirtle?
Yeah, 100%.
Why would you pick the weakest bullshit Pokemon?
Because Squirtle Squad.
Because Squirtle just went Super Saiyan.
He doesn't even have hair.
And
he turned gold.
And
he doesn't have hair, though.
And he is armed with a Master Ball.
Okay.
You guys are fighting in future Tokyo.
Well, that's like exactly where Akira weird. Would be.
And
you're in my hometown.
Fighters must have lengthy monologues before fighting.
Oh, so that's Fate Stay Night. Got it.
Yeah. So right off the bat, I'm armed with a Master Ball. So your Pokeball.
I haven't even used mine yet.
What?
I gotta throw my Pokemon before you can try
no,
to
you
steal
can,
it.
No, you can go ahead and throw your Pokemon all day, bro. I got a Master Ball. You can't
wait a second,
not
wait a second.
Escape that.
You can't use a Master Ball that's on true. Someone else's Pokemon.
Look, you know what?
That's not how
that's
Pokemon works. You can only use it on a wild Pokemon. So what you should say is, there's a Mewtwo or something, and I'm going to catch it.
Oh.
See, why don't you still try
or
again?
I could just straight up catch you, Akira.
What? Akira is not a Pokemon.
Bro, it's a Master Ball.
He's a dead person.
It is. That's it true. Is Akira in a suit of armor, though. I mean, it's
that's true. Well,
yeah.
I keep going. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. I mean, so I guess I really don't know what I can do with the Master Ball other than just catch a random Pokemon. I'm gonna catch more Squirtles, and the whole Squirtle Squad yes. is going Super Saiyan on that ass.
Oh my
There's
god!
There's nothing you can do.
All right, so I have Akira, so I'm going to somehow my power will be misharnessed. And I will destroy the future Tokyo before I can even use Madoka inside the Magic Ball. And F the suit of armor. That is the most worthless weapon ever. And, you know, yeah, I had the home field advantage, but
Shikigaga in the chat just said for the lengthy monologue, it's just going to be Squirtle going, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirt, Squirtle, Squirt, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle. That's the whole monologue because that's all I can say.
Holy crap.
It's amazing.
So I'm going to say I blew myself up accidentally.
Probably.
And
then I jumped into the Master Ball to save myself.
And I summoned Madoka, but she turned into like a giant blob monster and fell apart.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you did what during the explosion?
I jumped in the Master Ball to save myself from the explosion so I don't get destroyed.
That's actually really clever.
Does that make it a hollow victory? Because now you're trapped inside there until someone finds you in like the rubble of a building?
Well, yeah, but I went Super Saiyan, so like I'm pretty sure I could just bust up out of that Master Ball at any time. Just like,
that's a pretty
you know,
big assumption.
Like Gohan busted out of the Saiyan pod.
That's a Master Ball, I gotta say. That's a pretty big assumption.
That's true. That's a good point.
Okay. All right. I have no further statement.
Oh, me neither. That's
amazing.
I am going to
give this to Kazuo if he will give us a sample of the lengthy monologue that Squirtle will give for 30 seconds without laughing. And
wow.
Go.
Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirt, Squirtle, 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 Squirt, Squirt, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirt, Squirt, Squirtle, 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 Squirt. 30 seconds is way too long. This is ridiculous.
You were almost halfway there.
No. This is absurd. What are we doing? I hate you all. I'm just kidding.
I'll still give you that round.
Thank you.
All right, so Chiaki and I are up next. So here are Chiaki's cards. Now we're going to select them. Ooh. What the hell is that? I don't want that crap.
What was it? I want to see.
Okay. All right, oh. So Chiaki.
Don't give them to me. I don't...
Chiaki, get one more random weapon. All right, so I've got Naruto.
All right.
Armed,
believe it.
Believe it. I'm armed with a Keyblade.
Oh, God.
And I'm piloting an Ava.
You're piloting an Ava or you are an Ava?
I'm piloting an Ava, so I'm Naruto inside of an Ava that's holding a Keyblade.
Okay.
I have everyone at an anime convention.
Like, oh, boy.
Everyone.
I feel like I have to face anime con people every time I play you.
Is an adolescent ninja.
Which is accurate.
Armed with a death note.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, you guys are going to be fighting in feudal Japan.
Okay.
And it's a Bleach episode. Or Beach episode, I'm sorry.
Beach episode.
Beach episode. So Ava is wearing a bikini, I guess.
I got it, yeah. A bikini.
So you're Ava, number one, at the beach. It's going to get sand in places that it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. It's going to get wet, and that could, you know, mess with circuits. But really, the big thing is that you have, yeah, you have an Ava, and maybe you could mow down the entire anime convention goers. But chances are, one of those people who are also adolescent ninjas is going to escape your barrage of attacks. And as soon as they escape your barrage of attacks, they're armed with a Death Note, so they're going to kill you.
What is the rule of the Death Note? There was some like.
You have to know their name
and their face.
All right, so I would argue that you don't know my face or my name.
Everyone at the anime convention is going to know who Naruto is.
Yeah,
for sure.
You don't know who's in the Ava.
That's true. That's a good point.
You don't know who's in the Ava.
Everyone knows it's Naruto.
What? That's a pretty heavy assumption. Because if you don't know what my name is, I'm just going to stomp you all to death. Straight up, like. Isn't there some scene where in Evangelion where he just goes crazy and starts stomping on people?
They're going to use their adolescent ninja skills. Chances are they know that it's Naruto in the age of Ava because they're adolescent ninjas. So clearly they trained with Naruto. And they know because Naruto doesn't shut up that he's all like, you better believe it. I'm the one who's piloting the Ava. Believe it, dude.
Well, I hope your congoers like pee because...
No, not again.
No, Ava's don't pee.
My Ava's going to straight up urinate.
Don't pee. What is wrong with you? What is actually wrong with you?
Could you imagine just Ava just peeing all over a crowd of... that would be amazing.
It is a beach episode, so...
I have a beach urine story.
Do you really?
I do.
All right. So pause. All right. So I'm done. Pick the winner.
You know, in this case, it's gonna have to be the kids with the Death Note.
Woo!
What a bunch of bullshit!
Because Naruto cannot shut up for more than 5 seconds. So for sure, he's gonna start talking and say, "Believe it." And there's thousands of kids. They're all gonna know, and they're just gonna write his name down, and that's it. Game over. Now,
this is a bunch of bullshit. I demand a recount.
So my beach urine story. I was at the beach with some friends, and my buddy, we'll call him Jason. And you know how sometimes when you're in the water or whatever, and you gotta go, and you're at the beach, and you're like, man, I'm in the water.
Absolutely.
I'm just gonna go. Nobody's gonna know.
There's no guilt. You're totally hidden. You
know? Yeah, for sure. So Jason was gonna employ that tactic, because he's like, well, I gotta go to the bathroom. Unfortunately, we had just gotten to the beach, so we weren't actually in the water at the time. So he was like, I'm going to walk into the water. He walks into the water, about ankle deep, and just starts peeing. Oh, and you can see him running down his leg. And I'm like, what are you doing?
What?
What is wrong with that person?
What?
Wow.
It was hilarious, but...
I think he missed the point of hiding in the water.
I think he did it on purpose, though. He used to do all kinds of crazy, weird things.
Did you know that I heard that the number one cause of pink eye is urine and water at public pools? How disgusting is that?
You know, I had an ingrown toenail as a child, and I went to the doctor, and he told me, you know what you should do is just pee on it. And I'm like, what?
What?
I'm like, can I get a different doctor, please?
What the hell kind of a pervert was that guy?
He's like, yeah, just when you're in the shower, just pee on it. I'm like, I'm going to pass on that. Thanks, though.
You are supposed to do that with jellyfish tanks,
yeah.
Though.
I got a lot of urine stories.
Wow.
Anyways.
How did this turn into the pee episode? Will you pass me a blue and a purple card, please?
Sure.
All right. So this might be the last one. We'll see.
All right.
Ooh.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I need a character card, please.
Oh, that's this one.
Thank you.
I'm going to replace these black ones because they're the exact same ones I had last time.
Oh, this is a good setting for you guys.
Got it.
I'm excited.
I had both of these already.
Here, have two fresh ones.
Okay, you want to toss those over there?
This might be the last round anyway.
What is this?
Oh, they're write your own cards.
They're blank.
Oh, you can pick whatever you want.
Okay.
Good job.
Well, I'm freaking blank. Whoops.
Yes, we ran out of cards.
Okay.
We're going very quickly in case you didn't notice. All right, so I have... I don't need that. I have Totoro, whose fluffy animal mentor is Madoka. How did I get Madoka again? I picked the Madoka randomly last time, and Madoka is too kawaii for words.
Okay. So I've got Astro Boy.
Oh boy.
Who is a super otaku. And I got a blank card.
Uh-oh.
So, gotta make something up here. Astro Boy, super otaku. God. Who has, was it Sailor Neptune's staff that bends space and time?
Pluto.
Pluto, yes. Who has Sailor Pluto's staff that bends space and time and can pretty much do anything.
You guys will be fighting in an all-girls high school.
Sweet.
And all fighters have a crush on Princess Mononoke.
We are in the realm of Comfer.
What?
Comfer, the anime. It's an all-girls school where they all want to have sex with each other. Okay, so, yeah. So, starting right off, kind of got to jump on that fact that all the girls in the school have a crush on Princess Mononoke.
No, not all the girls in the school, all fighters.
Oh, we have a crush on Princess Mononoke.
You have a crush on Princess Mononoke.
Well, you're basically like in love with me then, because I'm practically like buddy-buddy with Princess Mononoke. We're from the same movie series. We're both Ghibli characters.
Well, maybe you know, I might be jealous of you, which will only fuel my fire and my hatred.
I'm gonna spin you around on top and make you have a very nice time singing in the treetops with a whistle. And then I'm going to give you a free ride on a cat bus, which will not urinate on you. Because cat pee is just, I would not wish cat pee on anybody. Even the cat bus is cat pee. And you're going to love it. And you're going to thank me afterwards, because it's going to be the time of your life.
Okay. So you're not even going to fight me. You're just going to try to seduce me. Is that what this is?
You don't even, well, I could smother you with my giant Totoro balls.
Does Totoro even have balls?
Oh, he does.
They're just hidden in the fur.
He does.
So, because my Astro Boy is such a super otaku, and he's well-versed in, I guess, Sailor Pluto, who has, like, some staff that can bend space and time,
yeah,
I don't know.
He's well-versed in Pluto.
I never got that far into Sailor Moon.
Not even a planet anymore. What a bunch of bullshit that is.
So,
nice job, Sailor Moon, Sailor Pluto. You're a loser.
So, yeah, so clearly he's going to understand that weapon way more than I do, because he has watched all of Sailor Moon repeatedly. I don't think there's much you can do against that. I mean, it's an all-powerful weapon, and it's Astro Boy.
I could dance outside and make the trees grow, and get this, make the wind blow.
Okay, well, your wind is going to be blowing pretty hard when Astro Boy flies above you and just whips it out and pees all over you.
I would...
Oh,
we had to continue the
beef.
I would look very cute holding my umbrella.
Oh, God, I just had an image of Totoro at the bus stop with the leaf, and there's pee raining down
just
on
Astro
him.
Boy flying above him.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I have no further comments.
Yes.
No further comments.
Jockey, who wins?
We all lost today. There were too many pee jokes. I guess I'll pick Astro Boy, because it's Astro Boy with Sailor Pluto's staff. I mean, it's kind of the trump card. Okay. So if you guys thought this game was fun,
was
if
intense.
You would want to play this with your friends, there is a whole bigger, like, standard version of Super Fight that is in this black box that I'm holding up if you're watching. But if you're listening, it's in a black box. And it's, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times the size of the anime expansion deck. And then there is the anime expansion deck. There's also a lot of other expansions on their website, superfightgame.com. But if you...
It's also skybound.com.
Yeah, skybound.com is the company who makes it. Superfightgame.com is probably the easier way that you can get access and buy all of the expansions and the original kind of deck for this. If this is a game that you think was super fun listening to us play, and you will have fun with your friends and family playing it yourself, then totally check it out and go to aaapodcast.com right now, because for the next 12 days we have a raffle right up front on the homepage that is we're going to give away one of these big standard boxes and the expansion pack. So go to aaapodcast.com and enter to win.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. Very cool.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and take another anime news break. When we come back, we'll be giving our review of Aoharu X Machine Gun. So stick around.
addicts, this is Shiaki, and this is your Anime News Break. First up, if you've been to Japan, you know that riding the trains in Japan can be their own experience. No matter if you're hanging out in the regular cars, cramped in with other people, on a little local line, or a high-speed Shinkansen, there's always something for you to enjoy. Well, on December 4th, if you're in Japan enjoying those trains, the Evangelion train will be selling bottles of Evangelion-approved Dasi Sake in its cars. The three-bottle set, topped off with colors that refer to elements within the anime, costs just 2,700 yen, which is just over $22. Other trains have tried to sell this brand of sake in them, but have been met with mixed success. The Evangelion train, however, is confident because the bottles serve as an homage to the bottles of Dasai Sake seen in the background scenes of Rebuild of Evangelion, in which Misato is usually drinking. The train itself began service on November 7th, running between Hakata Station and Sanyo Shinkansen Line. It was designed after Ava Unit 01. In other news, I need to make friends with someone who has Google Cardboard. Two teaser video for production IG's Kokaku Kidotai Shin Gekijo Ban Virtual Reality Driver, or Ghost in the Shell, the new movie virtual reality driver, has begun streaming this past week. One of the teaser videos is a traditional 2D video. The second teaser is longer, and it's shown in stereoscopic 3D with adjustable 360-degree point of view for those with the necessary hardware, like Google Cardboard. Production IG showed a similar trailer at the Tokyo Game Show 2015 in September. The final 10-minute work will offer an original story in an immersive 360-degree 3D video, which can be seen with a virtual reality headset. The full app will be available next February, and the full version is priced at just 480 yen, or about $4. Now, I get it. 3D, CG, kind of has a mixed bag when it comes to anime fans, but I think the fact of completely 360-degree immersive anime is just so cool. So I can't wait to see how this one turns out. In other news, if you're planning your convention attendance for this next year, you might want to add Anime Expo on your list. I know that this just made me add it on mine. The Los Angeles-based convention has recently announced that it will be hosting artist Yoshitaka Amano at the 2016 convention. For those of you who don't know, Amano is one of my favorite artists, and he did works for titles such as Vampire Hunter D and for the Final Fantasy franchises. Finally, if you're headed to Japan, there is something that the Tokyo One Piece Tower has done to make your travels a little easier. They've added QR codes to offer translations of various things throughout their little museum. Now getting anime goodness is that much easier for foreign visitors. This was Shiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere because we'll be back to the show soon.
Hey, Shiaki.
Hey, Mitsugi.
I heard of this podcast called Anime Addicts Anonymous.
Yeah.
They have this really handsome guy named Kazuo on there. Have you heard of it?
Well, yeah.
I think I'd like to throw my money at him. I mean, support that podcast.
Mitsugi,
what do you think?
Are you feeling all right? You're supposed to be the producer.
As I was saying, do you know how I can support the AAA podcast?
Oh, well, as a completely unbiased podcast listener, you can pop over to their Patreon page at patreon.com/AAA podcast. This is a great way to support the Anime Addicts Anonymous, and you can get some cool content like AAA ringtones, weekly show notes, unedited episodes, and more.
Better yet, I see here that you can get exclusive access to the podcast's bi-weekly hentai episodes.
Pervert.
And broadcast after parties.
Which are so much fun. So after you go to patreon.com/AAA podcast and support the show, you can feel free to stuff all those dollar bills straight into Kazuo's boxer shorts.
Where I put my money is none of your business.
Hi, this is Sabrina Palencia, voice of Rei Ayanami, and I'm an anime addict.
And then she cries.
And we are back to the 302nd episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast.
Oh, we back.
We's back.
Back again.
Guess who's back?
AAA back. What?
Tell a friend.
Oh, boy.
I am so white. The whiteness.
All right. So, anyways, where was I? Oh, yes. We have a review for you all. That's right. We watched an anime, so you don't have to. Or maybe you should. Let's find out.
Yeah,
that anime is Aoharu X Machine Gun.
X Kikikikan Juju. That's not a machine gun noise.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah. Now, this anime was one that I believe Chiaki
watched in past. Yes, I passed this one.
Yes.
So this anime was on the bubble back in the day when we first talked about this one. It started airing on July 3rd, and it ran through September 18th. So this would have been the summer season. And this was one of those that, when I passed it, I knew it was dumb.
Yeah, like, thanks for that.
Well, But I have to say, like, the first three episodes, I was set up for a show that I don't think I got. And I think we'll cover that. But the first three episodes, so in Aoharu X Kikanju, or Aoharu X Machine Gun, in the first three episodes, we have a girl who has Hotaru, who looks like a boy and has, like, this strong sense of justice, and she's super tomboy. And one of her friends says that she got ripped off by a host who is Masamune. And he actually lives next door to Hotaru, of course. And she goes to his host club and challenges him to a fight. And so they engage in what's called a survival game. And basically it's like paintball with BB guns,
yeah.
I think is probably the best way to describe it. And they tear up the club, and he invites her to be part of his survival game team with what is the other guy? Midori? Is that his name? Midori?
Yes.
Yes.
Just think green.
Wait, no. Midori is the bad guy.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yukimura.
Yeah, Yukimura.
So, you're right. My bad.
So he invites Matsuoka invites Tachibana Hotaru to be part of his survival team with Yukimura, and Hotaru finds out that they don't allow girls on their team, and the reason why they need a third member is they want to compete in this Tokyo
TGC,
the Tokyo, I forget.
Toy, it's Top Gun.
Oh, Top, not even Tokyo. Top Gun,
yeah, competition.
Top Gun competition.
And be the best survival game team in Japan. So first episode,
Iceman.
Second episode, we have I actually forgot what happens in the exact second episode, but I know in the second episode
they go out and they play.
They have their first survival game, and then the third episode is Hotaru getting her gun. And yes, I knew this was going to be a dumb show, but what I was expecting from this was that it was going to be kind of a fun romp, a let's work to be the very best in Japan. Mm. There would be that cute tension that would come out of, oh, it's a girl, and then we would have kind of that love interesty, maybe it's love triangle, maybe not. And then they would go, they would fight in the competition, they'd overcome, and the end of the series would be they won. All of that is incredibly cliche. I was expecting a somewhat amusing show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what this show suffers from, and maybe you guys will disagree, and this can be a place to kind of start our conversation, but I feel like what the show suffers from is I almost feel like they were trying to abandon some of those tropes, but in the process of doing so, they tried to put emphasis and make other things like really serious and philosophical, like the whole like do you know why the at one point Midori, who you kind of meet later, he's talking about, he's like, do you know why these games are so intense? It's because you have all the shame of dying, of knowing you let down your comrades, but you're actually alive and you have to live with that shame. And it's like, it tries to get really deep, and you're sitting there, and I kept sitting there going, the stakes are not high.
At all.
You're
playing a game with toy. First off, you are, everyone except for Hotaru is a grown-ass man.
Yes.
And they're playing a game with toy plastic guns.
Yeah.
And then getting superly over-dramatic about winning and losing.
Yeah.
And, like, crying when they lose. And I'm like, dude.
But they also,
You need some counseling.
Like, they also have, so you find out one of the reasons why Matsuoka didn't allow, you start finding out the reason why he doesn't allow girls in there is they had a girl on their team. And again, I was expecting it to be the kind of usual cliche of she either wasn't strong enough or he got a crush on her and then they broke up and then it was awkward and then he didn't want to put the team or whatever. Like, I was expecting that. But what they gave us instead was that she was like hunted down and brutalized in one of the games. And I'm just kind of sitting there like, okay, if you're going to put this in there, commit to it and make some effed up shiznat actually happen to her. But like, if it feels like they were trying to make it out like something horrible happened to her.
She got shot with a BB.
And she got shot with a BB.
Which is what happens in the game.
Okay, so, all right, so I agree and I disagree with some of what you guys are saying. And first of all, I feel like we moved really quickly on this review. Like, really quick.
Okay.
So we jumped. We went right from this is the character's name to like the like the deepest like spoiler area of the whole show, which by the way we do have a spoiler drop now, which and I will use it.
Okay. He's not afraid to use it.
I am not afraid.
I don't think it's that much of a show. Like, I mean,
so first of all, people that watch this show need to understand that basically what they're doing is they're playing paintball.
That's I did say that.
Yep.
I did say that.
But you also jumped ahead to like the deep psychological cruxes of the characters, which is a little down the road, I think.
Well, I mean, I gave the plot summary.
I would argue that there are no deep psychological cruxes of these characters.
So I agree and I disagree with what both of you have said, because yes, I think that they are maybe over dramatizing some of the I'm agreeing with you, so please okay. Be nice. All right. That I agree that they're over dramatizing the trauma that the characters have gone through through playing this game. But I think that some aspects of the game and how seriously they take it is necessary for the story to really be interesting to at least the people who find it interesting, which may not be you guys, I don't know, but because how interesting is the show going to be if no one gives a rat's ass about like the outcome?
But
so, of course, they have to take it seriously.
But no, I don't think that's what we're saying. I think what we're saying is the way they take it seriously renders a disconnect for the viewer. Because in my mind, like I said, I offered a completely logical plot progression of the tension that the viewer feels comes twofold of them working to be, like, this is an alternate plot. This is not what happened in the anime. But a twofold of them trying to become the best in Japan and working together and all of the training and things, and just because they want to be the best. And Hotaru's like tension of how is she going to tell them that she's a girl, and how is that going to be resolved when she does. And so, but the anime didn't give us that. It tried to build the plot solely around the tension that the characters feel from the games and set it up like it was like they were traumatized by actual war.
Well, that's just the way that the show chose to go. They chose to make the crux of the show the games and not the, oh my God, I'm a girl.
Yeah, well, so here's... all right, my thoughts regarding that is there are plenty of shows that revolve around the characters playing a game which in and of itself is inconsequential. Like, you have shows about baseball and shows about, you know, Go, which is a board game kind of similar to chess. Like, so the game itself is not the cause of the drama or the intensity in the characters. Like, it's not a cause of the emotion. The emotion is taken from the characters themselves and their experiences that occur around the game. And I think in this show what they tried to do was make the game itself overly dramatic when, you know, it isn't. It's a game that you play with toys.
Wait a second. Well, first of all, there was a $10,000 prize for the competition, so they should be taking it seriously.
Certainly, but I'm saying, like, when you have characters like crying and like,
but it's not. The thing is it's not that they're just taking the game seriously. It's not that they're competitive. It's the fact that the anime tries to investigate the psychological effects of that competitiveness on the players. That's the crux. It's not, the crux isn't, I want to play this game and I want to win. The crux is, here's the way this game messes with people's heads. And I don't think they did a good job of that. Like, I think if that's what they wanted to do, they needed to explore characters more. Like, they threw one in there who was an actual soldier at one point in and how the game reminded him of his time at war or whatever. And if they took if they wanted to take that angle of the psychological impact of the game, that would be one thing. But it's kind of like it just doesn't match up. The viewer can't get there. It can't bring out that emotion in you. And so it just kind of feels lackluster because it's not something you can get behind where you're like, oh, they're training to become the best in Japan and that's what they want to do. It's like, no, it's overcoming our demons.
Well, you know, I don't know. Real paintball is not like that. And it's not, this isn't paintball, by the way. It's some other form of BB guns. That seems a little more destructive than like BB guns would be, because at one point later on in the show, a guy has a high powered automatic gun and it's like ripping bark off trees and stuff. Which I'm sorry, like I don't think I. And they do mention at one point that these BBs cause internal bleeding. Do you recall that moment?
Yeah, but
like technically a bruise is internal bleeding. Yeah.
Okay, well, so. I agree with you, and I still agree, and I still disagree, because I think that it's important that they apply some kind of seriousness to the game, but I think that they misdirect the amount of trauma you would experience playing the game and making that a focus of the anime, and I don't really think they do a very good job of that.
Yeah, like, I mean, but, one of the main characters was, you say trauma, he was severely traumatized, like what's his name, the pretty boy, I forget his name.
I question how traumatized he was because...
Well,
Matsuoka.
Like, he was just... There were several scenes when he was crying heavily and, you know... What are you doing?
You want answers? Oh. I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
So, yeah, I mean, there was one scene later...
Was that our spoiler drop?
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's that... I don't think he's really even that traumatized, because there's a scene later on in the show where he's lying on his stomach and the guy is like his opponent sitting on top of him shooting him in the back repeatedly.
No, he was on his back. He was shooting him in the ribs.
Whatever, in his stomach. And
he was crying.
He was crying, but he recovers awfully fast. If he was truly traumatized, he would not be just like able to get up and recover.
First off, his jiu-jitsu game is mad weak. That dude's mount was like non-existent. I was like, dude, for sure, you know, sweep him, get a half guard, do something. Like, you're just laying there crying like a little bitch. Like, seriously?
Can we at least
agree?
You're
a grown-ass man.
That is a misleap in logic, though, because they talk about... So at TGC throughout, they talk about how TGC is like this intense competition because you can... Hand-to-hand combat is totally legal and in the competition. And so you'd think they would practice... Hand-to-hand combat. Yeah. Like Kazuo's comment of his jiu-jitsu game being weak, for a regular person, that's kind of like, well, of course it is. But these aren't regular people. These are people who train to go in and do this. And you'd think that they would practice if someone jumps on you.
And the fact that he just basically held him up against a tree with one hand over the guy's mouth. It's like, you're a grown man. Like, you should be able to defend yourself at least a little bit, maybe, instead of just laying there crying.
I have to say, though, that scene was the one scene where I got a glimmer of hope for this anime, and I thought we were going to get the darkness that I felt like it was missing and actually get an explanation for why these characters had such trauma from this. Because the scene is a little intense, like, if you think about it, where you have this guy, and so players are out when they say hit, basically, and they're called zombies if they keep fighting after they've been hit, because the idea is once you've been shot, you would be dead or whatnot. Right. And this guy is holding down, Midori is holding down Matsuoka and covering his mouth so he can't call hit, basically. And is just firing him repeatedly, like, in the ribs. And that, to me, like, that was the one scene where I was like, okay, this is a little messed up.
But there's no consequence from it. Here's a pro tip. If anyone places one hand over your mouth, it's super easy to just pull it off, because your pulling is way more powerful than their placement of a hand here. They have no side-to-side stability. So he could have easily just gone, hit.
Listen,
stop it. Get off me.
I really want to move on from this whole, like, it's too serious or whatever, because we've been literally saying that for 25 minutes.
Yeah. Well, how about the fact that the guy who was doing the torturing is a doctor
Wait a second,
who deals with children?
I just want to say, this is not paintball. that
I said that already.
I think that a sport where I'm a, where I can literally beat the living shit out of you till you're half dead, mm-hmm. and then it's like I could literally disarm you, throw my gun away, and just beat the shit out of you for 30 minutes, totally legal.
I guess that is technically true.
I could traumatize the living shit out of you. There could be like a 15-year-old girl. I take her gun away. Throw my gun away. I say F it, and I just beat the shit out of this. I could even bludgeon her with my gun. I could bludgeon her to death with my gun, yeah, and then shoot her. So it has some potential to be traumatic.
Sure, maybe the rules were a little screwed up in the game because they were like hand to hand combat's okay, and you can have a small child there.
And to finish my point, in the show, the trauma that they sort of cover only applies to TGC, the
right.
super aggressive competition, because when they're doing just regular paintball or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. They don't really even explore that. It's more like, oh, whatever, whatever the girl's name is, Hotaru can't really shoot. Ha ha ha. She's not any good. Mm-hmm. So, I'm halfway buying into them. Because if I can bludgeon you in the head with my rifle 30 times, that sounds traumatic.
And that's just the rules are in this show were totally screwed up. Because like if you go to any like airsoft competition like that or a paintball competition, there it's the location is very visible from like the people that are running the operation. So like to be like we're just in the woods totally by ourselves and there's no supervision around and we can like beat someone within an inch of their life, it's like, okay, that's a bit far-fetched. That's not really how these things work.
The resounding thing for me is just that this anime had tone issues. Like it couldn't make up its mind on what the tone of the show was, because we would have these episodes where, oh, she was hunted down and she was brutalized, and then the next episode we'd have a water gun contest where they're about to shoot each other in the crotch with water, and then we have this whole thing with TGC and crazy shit goes down, and then there's no real decompression after that. And a couple episodes later, Hotaru seeks out Midori, who's the guy, the twisted mother effer, who she basically saw like completely mess up her comrades. And yes, she's not looking to be buddy buddy, but personally I couldn't even sit down at a table with that dude if that were me.
And how about the fact that he's a pediatrician?
Yeah.
And he's like super sweet, right? Outside of the competition and very nice to Hotaru and all this stuff, and then in the competition is like a psychotic murdering torturer person.
This anime had things that I liked about it, but the problem was is that I felt like it was two shows that were meshed into one.
I want to talk about some good things.
Okay.
Yeah. I just said one of them that I wait. What was the one that I said?
I don't know.
And I felt like this turned into like a hater fest on an anime that I actually thought was pretty good.
Poof.
I mean,
really?
I thought so.
So what? Okay. So what were some good things about it then?
I thought the action scenes were really good.
I thought the animation was subpar in both style.
I don't agree. I thought that the action scenes were pretty, they were pretty fast, and I found it to be entertaining. I don't know if it was like perfectly animated, but I mean, what is nowadays?
I saw off modeling left and right.
Yeah, that definitely happened a lot.
That has nothing to do with
really
the animation.
Weak.
Animation quality?
What? Off modeling has nothing to do with the animation?
In my world, the animation is how it's moving. If the
Which
characters look ugly,
modeling is because it's an issue of in between and keyframes.
So you're saying that's the difference of saying it looks ugly versus it moves poorly.
I'm saying both. I'm saying it had issues of the in betweens between the keyframes that rendered the animation choppy. That was that issue was the fact that it was off model.
I thought they did an all right job with it. I thought it looked good enough to me that I thought that the action scenes where they were actually competing were interesting and engaging. The only thing that bothered me with the action scenes were a couple moments where they just kind of lowered their weapons and started talking to each other, whereas I would just say someone just needs to lift their gun up and shoot the other person.
The action scenes you could see they put in their budget, but some of the other scenes that were kind of either in between those intense moments or the scenes that were that they had for emphasis, there were some scenes that were downright ugly. And I'm talking both, again, style and animation, where lip flaps were bad, animation was poor, off model. Like, this show had some jankiness to it.
Yeah, I don't know if I really felt that strongly either way about the animation. I certainly noticed there were several scenes where the characters were off model, as you said.
And, like, the action sequences were okay, I guess. Like, nothing really stood out to me one way or the other about the way the show looked.
I don't know what we expect from anime nowadays. Most anime look like balls nowadays compared to movies and older stuff. Like, anime today looks cheap. See, like, just in general. I mean, I can't say this anime looks any worse than any of the other shows that come out normally.
See, I don't give it a pass because there are other shows that manage their budget way better.
Look at One
without getting really janky.
I don't even think it looked that bad. Like, I'm still retaining my prior opinion.
Look at One Punch Man, which is running right now. I mean, the animation, the action sequences in that show are freaking insane. So, like, I mean, to say that this is just as good as any other show, certainly not. I mean,
No, I didn't say that. I said that it looked good enough that I got enjoyment out of the action scenes.
I think someone who really enjoys paintball could enjoy this show. And I think, and I know we've said it a million times, they're not playing paintball, but it's that same kind of feel. I think they could enjoy the show. I think someone, but see, like, I couldn't even recommend this for someone who likes the trope of a girl masquerading as a boy and that tension, because they literally do nothing with it. Yeah. Like, it's an
Thank
issue
God.
For like a little Thank bit.
God. Really?
Yeah, no.
You guys would rather have seen that trope?
Well, they set it up.
Like, for Christ's sake.
The whole show was like from the very beginning about, oh man, is she ever going to tell them that she's a girl?
God,
and she never does.
I enjoyed the show so much more. Yeah, we weren't spoilers. No, she never tells them that she's a girl. But
which was the whole point since episode
one. Which they keep bringing up over and over again, which I didn't like. But I like the show so much more because they focused on the actual, like, you know, if you want to call it a sport, the sport. Rather than like, oh my god, the trope of I'm a bold girl who looks like a boy.
I said that earlier, Mitsugi, where if you want to go in that direction, fine, but do it well. And this show didn't. This show was nothing. It didn't know what it wanted to be because it would kept throwing in the trope of the, oh, I'm a boy, but went nowhere with that and didn't commit
to
the other way.
It was just supposed to be comedy.
I disagree with that.
Definitely not.
I would not call this show a comedy.
No, I
said
it was.
The whole thing about her being looking like a boy is definitely not supposed to be comedy. The whole point of like why she wouldn't come out about it is because of like the fear of being like let go. They talk about what's his name, Pretty Boy. I don't care what his name is, but he talks about how there are people who let go and those who are let go. And the whole reason why she didn't want to come out about being a girl was because of fear of being abandoned.
That's true, but there are also moments in the show where they clearly use it as comedy. Like when she comes out of the bathroom, when she comes out of the ladies' bathroom and gets, when she comes out of the ladies' bathroom and gets caught. When the guy lifts several moments of like them lifting up her shirt or touching her.
Yeah.
And like, oh my god, you know, and it's they have like a funny light moment.
Yeah, but
like it's definitely used for comedy at times.
Sure, but it's also, it was set up as the point of the show was like she's afraid to be who she is because of the fact that there was a girl that was like tortured or something. And I mean, that was the whole point. And then they just never resolved it.
The thing I didn't like, the thing that was bothering me the most in the show was the seemingly unnecessary homosexual undertones that the show had over and over and over and over and over and over. Like, it seems like I have to tread lightly here. But I'm just tired of people forcing that stuff into shows because it's, I'm sorry, it's trendy.
For sure.
Like, do I have to have every character, does every male character in the show want to have sex with each other just because it's trendy? Because I don't think that in, like, real life, not every male character wants to bang all the other dudes.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly something in anime, specifically anime that are aimed towards girls that have pretty boys in them, and the pretty boys are very, you know, their sexuality is very questionable. I mean, that's all over the place in anime, and it's definitely apparent in the show. Which I mean, I guess I'm not, you know, offended by it at all. It's just it is what it is. It's
I'm sort of offended, just my sensibilities in general. Yeah. I'm not offended by gay people or anything about that. I just think that, you know, you're talking about like. You're talking about 1% of the population, and it seems like it makes it into practically every anime I ever watch is just filled with it.
I think it's to excite girls, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a girl.
This is clearly
but,
a girl. Is this show for girls?
To see pretty boys kind of like all over each other, I think that's to get the attention of girls.
This is classified as shonen.
That goes back to what I'm saying.
Right,
this show doesn't know what it is. It doesn't know whose its audience is. It doesn't know what its story is. It doesn't know what its message is. It doesn't know what it is.
This show, Aoharu Kikanju, is classified as a shonen, which I don't agree with. I don't think little kids can identify with the themes in this show at all. Like, little kids can't associate with homosexuality. They can't associate with post-traumatic stress disorder from war. They can't,
confusion.
This is a... I'm gonna corroborate on another site, because this does not feel like a shonen anime to me.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely thought they could have gone somewhere with her, you know, looking like a boy but being a girl and all that stuff, but they never really explored it all that much. I don't know if it's setting itself up to have a sequel, perhaps. Maybe
it definitely
they're gonna address
it
then, but...
I mean, I think that her being a boy, her looking like a boy was... It was used for homosexual tension and comedy, in my opinion, for the most part. Yes, there was like a theme of you know, we can't have girls on the team, but I feel like
that was like the whole point of her like
not coming out about it.
Yeah, it was because she was afraid that she was going to be kicked off the team. Like,
I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing.
So to say, like, you know, her looking like a boy was only a source of comedy and homosexual tension, that's not true at all. Like, the whole point of the show was her wanting to be on the team and then being afraid that if she came out as a girl that she wouldn't be allowed on the team.
I don't disagree with you at all that what you're saying is absolutely true, but they definitely used her for homosexual
certainly
undertones. Like
how funny towards the end when the dude's like, why is my heart beating?
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you gay, that's why.
Yeah, or, even like the
I literally said that as I was watching the show.
Even like the first the first moment when Hotaru sees Masamune or whatever his name is on the ledge outside her apartment.
Yeah.
And he grabs her by the face and like pulls her in close. To the viewer, she's a guy.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to giggle and get squishy about the fact that two dudes, and I air quoted here, two dudes are like within kissing range. It was like a boys' love manga at that moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They definitely use that a lot.
So
not just with her and main dude, but also the creepy Iroge author and him as well.
Man,
there was a lot of that where it was like he they were best friends growing up or something like that, but he was like way more involved with the guy than just best friends. Like, you know,
is there any uniqueness to the show? Like,
I mean,
is it fresh at all? Because I think that I feel like the paintball thing is kind of a fresh idea.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's unique that it's a, you know, airsoft game, but other than that, I think I don't know, we've seen everything already. Like, as far as like, is there anything that's truly unique anymore? It's all just
I'm not sure. I mean, you'll never know until you come.
You know,
you get
you
to
know
it.
What's truly unique?
What's that?
One Punch Man.
Oh, okay. he looks like the son from the cartoon The Oblongs. He's got like one little hair sticking out. You know, I like this anime a lot more, so I started talking to you two haters about it. Man, it's like Haterade Festival. That's my job. How dare you?
You know how you said that the whole issue with like the boy love and the stuff offended your senses?
Yeah, it's because I don't like it being force-fed it like an animal.
This whole show offended my senses.
Okay. Okay.
So,
I don't know. Like, I feel like that stuff belongs, and this goes back to Chiaki's point that maybe the show didn't know what it wanted to be. But, you know, the homosexual undertones and stuff, those things have a place.
Sure. I mean, and Free had a ton of that, and I love Free. Free was awesome.
They belong in their own genre. I mean, let's take all that stuff, bundle it up in a little box, even a big box, fine. Stick it someplace where all of the people who like that stuff know where it is, and let's not add it to like every single other anime ever made.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't want to see it. I don't care.
Well, you can put it. Okay.
Ruins things for me.
So I mentioned Free, and that just like my brain just exploded because Free had tons of the like super drama, like crying and all that's, you know, very emotional and everything. And, it was based on a game or a sport or whatever, but the source of the drama wasn't like the game itself. It was life around the game that they were playing. So, and I feel like that's kind of where this show went off, was that the source of their drama was the immediate effects of playing the game. Whereas it should have been the interpersonal relationships of the characters around the game. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Meowth900 in the chat asked me if I would complain if it was two girls wanting to have sex with each other.
Hell
what
no.
What do you two think that I would say?
I think you would say if it still is at a detriment to the story and for no other reason than to get viewer, than to get like a rise out of the viewer, you would still have a fundamental issue with it.
I would say that you know that you need no that you need look no further than my hatred of the anime Comfer. I think this could be a fun show for people who like lighthearted sport anime. What do you think? Lighthearted sport anime.
My problem is that there are tons and tons of way better lighthearted sports anime than this show. So, I mean, I don't know if I could recommend someone watch this. Like, I think at best, this show might be a show that you watch and you're like, oh, that was all right. But why would you waste your time on something that's just all right when there are tons and tons of other options that are actually very good? You know, so I don't know if I can recommend this to anyone. I mean, if you've watched every other sports anime ever made, you know, that's any good, and you're just, you need another sports anime and you're all out, then sure, I guess watch this, but I'm not going to recommend it to anyone.
Someone questioned my statistics about the percentage.
Oh.
And in less than 30 seconds, I provided a site.
Yeah, you can just Google that. And also in Japan, like, I would imagine the percentage is much, much lower, you know, as far as like gay and lesbian demographics in Japan, because it's just so taboo.
Yeah, in Japan, it's like, you know, it's the same percentage, but it's taboo, so it's like under the carpet or whatever.
Closet.
Final thoughts? Whatever.
I didn't hate the anime as much as you guys did, but the negativity of the review is making my score come down a little bit.
4.5. I'm just kidding.
I'm gonna give it 3.5 water guns out of 5.
Very interesting.
It was gonna be higher than that, but then you guys made me feel like I shouldn't, so I didn't.
give the review you want to give.
I'm saying you guys made a lot of really good points about how it didn't know what it wanted to be, and you know, various other things and things I hadn't thought about, and so I lowered it a little bit.
Okay. So, yeah. To me, this show was not good. Surprise, surprise. It wasn't painful for me to watch, but it was just, I definitely didn't enjoy it. I've expressed all the things I didn't like about it already. And I think for this show, I am going to have to give it 2 episodes of Bloodlust out of 5. Yeah, that seems right to me.
I gave it a 2.
Aoharu X Kikanju is a show that I went into, and I went into expecting tropes with maybe a couple bit of a flush of something new. And what I got was I got an anime that I literally don't know who I can recommend this show to. I don't know. I can't recommend it to people who like the whole
airsoft stuff.
I can't recommend it to people who like airsoft stuff. I can't recommend it to people who like sports anime or war anime or, you know, the girl is a guy love romance anime. I can't recommend this to anyone because this show does nothing well. I can't even recommend it to people because it's pretty. And for that reason, because it's not. And for that reason, I'm going to give it a 1.5 out of 5.
Holy crap.
It's nothing. I can't even say, like, wow. It did this one thing really well, and that's why you should watch it. And yes, that's dumb and a trope, but it did it well, and those type of people will enjoy it. This anime was nothing.
Chiaki goes for the rarely seen, might as well be a hentai.
I would have preferred that. Because then she would have been like, I'm actually a girl.
She wasn't
and then
attractive.
They bang her.
She wasn't attractive. I didn't even want to see it.
Yeah, no.
So.
Well.
What is that? I don't know.
Comes out to a 2.5.
I feel like that was the widest range of scores that we.
Not since Yurikuma.
Haterade Blast.
Didn't
Haterade
you give
Blast.
Yurikuma like a 4.5 and I gave it like a 1 or something?
I think so, yeah. anyways.
Wow. All right. Well. I guess I forgot I'm leading this one. All right, so I guess that brings our show to an end, guys. Our weekly in-show trivia, the question was, in the anime Stelvia of the Universe, before the anime even begins, what is the event that nearly wipes out mankind? The answer?
So a supernova a distant supernova explodes, and the light energy from the heat and light energy from the explosion cover the Earth and just barbecue like everything.
Wow.
And nearly everybody dies. It's like 99% of all life on the planet is wiped out.
Jeez.
And the anime, and this is why I think it's cool, is because the rocks and the debris and crap are way behind the light energy, right? They're like decades behind in travel time.
Cool.
So they're preparing for this massive like just wash of meteors and shit that are just gonna completely just blow the Earth out of the galaxy or whatever. So they're trying to build like defenses and train people to operate in space and to defend the planet from all this debris.
That sounds actually pretty cool.
Which is kind of a cool idea, right?
Yeah.
Now it ends up being kind of girly and moe and shit like that, but it's still And I don't know much about physics, but I think that the light would probably travel faster than the actual matter from the supernova.
Absolutely.
I don't know how much faster, but I think they actually go into some of that.
Yeah. Huh. Anyways, all right. Well,
and astrophysics probably knows the answer.
Yeah, he's blowing up the chat right now, like, you fools, you don't understand.
You know nothing.
All right, guys. So this was a fun show. We had a ton of laughs.
We did.
Had some friendly debate.
We had an awkward amount of pee talk.
Lots of pee talk. More pee stories to come. All right, so that brings us to a close. Of course, you can find us anytime online at aaapodcast.com. Just go there. You can check out our old reviews, episodes, jump in the forum, chat with other listeners, find links to our iTunes. Please head over to iTunes, drop us a 5-star review. If you do, we will read it on the show. That is right. We are not above bribing you with airtime for you to give us a 5-star review. Haters gonna hate. Don't hate. All right, so... of course, you can also go to our Facebook, facebook.com/AnimeAddictsAnonymousPodcast, and twitter.com/AAApodcast. Oh, I almost forgot. You can find Chiaki at twitter.com/ Elise Kova.
Yes.
ELISEKOVA.
That is me.
And you can find me at AAKazuo, KAZUO. And Mitsuki usually takes over the main account and talks about sports and things like that.
That is not true.
That is only partially true.
That's not true.
Of course, we broadcast every Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is, I think, 10 o'clock GMT for all of you weirdos out in England or whoever uses that GMT. I'm just messing with you. Okay, until then, we'll be back next week. And that's pretty much it. I love you all, and to all a good night.
Yep, we'll see you guys next week. I don't know what we're doing, but we'll find out when we get there.
Surprise, surprise, we don't know what we're doing.
We'll find out. After party!